Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Keri Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Hi everybody, this is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Keri Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello everybody, I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Keri Hines.
I have learned along this way. The more you shine, the more shadows you cast. It just goes hand in hand. That's the price for all of this.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
All right, Michael Hopkins, it is so great to be back with you on the air today. So I'm ready to jump right on in. Today's topic is all about what, Michael Hopkins, for the Vet Talk Radio Show?
Today's topic is, these are the top terms every veteran should know when filing a claim.
That's right, Michael Hopkins. And there are 40 of these terms. And we're going to count down from number 40 to 35, just five today. We're covering on this episode. Let's get started. Michael, what do you have for us?
Well, you know, Keri, the first one is called clear and unmistakable evidence.
Okay, so you're saying at number 40.
Number 40, right. Clear and unmistakable evidence. And what that basically means is this. In VA terms, it's called a Q claim. Because, you know, at VA, they have to shorten it. But reality is this. The VA made a mistake. They made a mistake. When you filed your claim, there was some evidence that they overlooked. And it's real easy for them to overlook evidence. You know, a perfect example would be you filed for tinnitus. That's the ringing in the ear. In the process of you getting an examination, the examiner clearly said in his notes that you had tinnitus and it is service connected. In other words, it happened while you were on active duty. The VA and what the VA claim section did, they focused in on your claim for hearing loss. Instead of hearing loss, they should have focused in on your tinnitus, but they didn't do that. So what they decided, that is the claim section, decided that you're not service connected for hearing loss. And what they were supposed to do, even though you weren't you weren't rated for hearing loss, what they were supposed to do, Keri, they were supposed to focus in on your tinnitus, and you were supposed to get rated for your tinnitus. But they didn't do that.
Wow.
Right. Well, isn't that something?
Problem.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that is a problem.
Wow.
Clear and unmistakable evidence. They had the evidence right there in front of them, and all they had to do was make a sound decision about your tinnitus and grant it to you. That's what they were supposed to do. And a lot of veterans don't know about that, about Q claims. They think it's difficult, and it's not.
Okay, Michael, very good. Okay, way to start. And what's at number 39?
Now, at number 39, Carrie, you have, it's called a presumption of soundness. And I know that sounds kind of, my goodness, what does that mean? And it's very simple.
Yeah. Presumption of soundness.
Presumption of soundness. And it's a very simple term. What it means when we, as before we're sworn in as military people, we go in what they call it at 100%. In other words, your body, your mind, everything is working correctly on you as a potential service member. And you're tested and retested and re-retested and all that. So when you go in, you raise your right hand, you get sworn in, it is presumed that there's nothing wrong with you. You don't have any, there's nothing wrong with you. So that's what presumptive of soundness is. If there was something wrong with you, it would show up during your examinations, your physicals and mental health and all that. It would show up. That's what presumptive of soundness is.
Presumptive. Okay, that's a very good point at 39. So that's if nothing is wrong when you go in.
Right.
Start your career in the military. Okay. And
that's
presumptive of soundness. Good term.
Now, number 38, and it kind of goes along with number 39, but it's a whole different thing. Number 38 is called a pre-existing condition. Now, Carrie, where have we heard that word before, pre-existing condition? We've heard that word before in medical terms. We hear it all the time with insurance companies when they say, they'll either going to pay if you have a pre-existing condition or they're not going to pay. Well, in the military world, it's not so much insurance, but in the military world, when you have a pre-existing condition, that basically means before you rose your right hand, you got sworn in, you went off to basic training, and you served your country, it was already known that you have some kind of condition, some type of medical condition. It's already known. It's documented. You see, Carrie Hines, that is the number one thing. Actually, when you're filing for claims, that's the number one thing. If you had a pre-existing condition. In other words, before you went in, the organization knew, it could be whatever military organization, they knew you had an issue. It could be a physical issue. They knew when you were in high school, you played football and you blew your knee out, say in your junior or senior year. And your knee healed, but it never really healed correctly. You can function with it, but it never really healed correctly. They accepted you into the military. After you got in the military, guess what happened? You start having issues with your knee. You could still function, work, but you still had issues with your knee. And in time, your condition with your knee got exacerbated by military service. That's the fancy term that they use. Basically, it means, yeah, it's not looking too good for your knee. And
right, exactly. Made worse, really. Wow.
Yeah, it's made worse. And as time went on, you went on sick call. Once again, Carrie, that's the key to a pre-existing condition. You had to have gone on sick calls, doctors, et cetera, while you were in the military with this pre-existing condition. So key to your claim. If it's documented and then when you get out of the military, you still have the same issue that you had when you were in the military, only it got worse. Now when you're filing for compensation, you have a paper trail. From the time you went in to the time you got out, you got a paper trail now. That's how a pre-existing condition works. And even if the claim section, the VA claim section, tried to deny and they said, well, you came in the military and you already had this condition.
That's what I was thinking, Michael. I really was.
Right.
Doesn't that just set it up for you to be potentially denied later for something that could be
It
you know,
does, but guess what?
Connected?
But guess what, Carrie Hines?
What's that, Michael?
In that denial letter, they just admitted that you had a pre-existing condition, and that's part of the rules and regulations that they go by, that if a service member an ex-service member had a pre-existing condition, they have to take that into consideration when that service member is filing for compensation. They knew. The government knew you had an issue. So now you have to get compensated because they allowed you to come into the military with an issue.
Uh-huh.
A lot of veterans don't know that,
Gary. The smoking gun, so to speak. Wow.
Right. And a lot of veterans don't know that. They get a letter from from the VA, the claim section, and it says, well, you came in and you already had the condition before you came in the military. So therefore, we're going to deny, say, for example, your flat feet, your feet issues, because you had this before you came in the military. Well, they just gave you medical evidence. Because they found out somewhere in your medical records that you had this condition. That's what they're telling you. And once they tell you that, Carrie Hines, guess what?
What?
They have to compensate you.
Amazing. So this is why I find this really very helpful. Michael, again, for folks who are just joining us, let's just bring everybody up to speed. Today's show is all about the top terms every veteran should know when filing a claim. And, Michael, you mentioned that there are about 40, that's about 40 top terms. And today you're only covering 5. So you're counting down from number 40 to number 35. And, Michael, these are surprising. These are surprising. So good terms for you guys to know. Amazing. So, Michael, what's next?
Now, number 37, Carrie, we're talking about service treatment records. And I know that, once again, that's another, it seems like, what does that mean? Well, you see, as military people, we go to the hospital, too, just like civilians. We go on sick call or you know, different branches have different terms for it. But it all means the same thing. Something happened to you while you were at work or before you got to work or you could have even been on leisure time. But as long as you were active duty and something happened to you and you went to sick call or you went to the doctor, it goes into your medical records. And basically, that's what service treatment records are. They're your medical records from active duty.
Wow.
And it's so very important when you're filing for compensation, those medical records are like gold if you have them, because they contain all kinds of information about what happened to you, the individual service member, when you were active duty, because that's part of what the VA claim section is going to base your compensation on. That is the first question that they always ask, Carrie. Did it happen on active duty?
Yes, and is it difficult for the veterans to make to obtain their service treatment records or to keep track of it? Is it a challenge? What can we add? What can we clarify today?
Yes, it is, Carrie. It is a challenge because typically most veterans do not have a copy or their original service treatment records, especially the older veterans. A lot of the veterans came in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and even into the 90s, a lot of veterans do not have either a copy or the actual original service treatment records. And it makes it difficult to file for compensation. I didn't say it was impossible, Carrie Hines. It's not impossible, but it's difficult.
Well, what steps would you advise them to do? What should they do if they find themselves in a situation?
Now, what they can do as a former service member, there are options. One of the options is the Archives of the United States Government. That's one of the options. You can actually, there's a form called a Standard Form 180. You can go online. You can actually print it out. Yep, a Standard Form 180. That's what it's called. And on that Standard Form 180, when a veteran fills it out, it asks many questions, one of which it basically asks you if you're looking for your service treatment records, a copy of it. And it also shows you where to go find it, where to send this form. Some people do the form online, and they actually send it directly to the archives of the United States government. And then the government goes into action, and they attempt to locate your records. Sometimes it takes anywhere from 3 months to a year to locate your records. That's if they can locate them, Carrie Hines. If.
Oh, my.
That's a very big, because sometimes what has happened, some people's records have actually been destroyed.
Mm. Wow.
There was a fire in St. Louis, Missouri, and in St. Louis where a lot of the records were stored. And unfortunately, a lot of those records got destroyed.
Now, Michael, I would imagine they would notify the veteran and let them know what the issue was at.
Unfortunately, Carrie, regrettably and unfortunately, if you don't ask for your records, the government, unfortunately, may not tell you that your records were destroyed. They won't do like a mass mailing, anything like that. Unfortunately, it's not what they did. Until a veteran asked for their records, they had no idea that, according to the government, you didn't have any records.
The records may not even exist anymore.
Right.
Wow.
Right. They may not exist anymore.
Well, Michael, I hope that you can do a show on that down the road, a little bit more detail on that. That's really a big story right there. What's at number 36, Michael Hopkins? Service treatment records number 37, What's right. number 36?
Number 36, Carrie, is service-connected condition.
Well, these are some mouthful terms.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's some mouthful connected. Terms. But the thing of it, they're so important. So many yes. people file for compensation, Carrie, but they don't have a grasp on the terms that we're going over here. And, you know, as you know, it's an ongoing series. And they don't have a grasp. And having a grasp on these terms will help you file for compensation. It will help you.
Absolutely.
Because you'll understand.
That's why I so appreciate this series. Yes.
Now,
so number six, what exactly is service-connected condition?
Basically what it is this, in a nutshell. It happened to you, the individual veteran, while you were in service to this country. You were on active duty, and it happened to you. It can range from you hurt your knee, you had a traumatic brain injury, you had nerve problems, headaches. It could be just about anything that you can think of happened to you while you're on active duty. Broken bones. You got hit by an automobile. You got hit by a vehicle. You fell out of a vehicle. You broke your leg. I mean, it's so many different things can happen to a veteran while they were in service of this great country that we live in.
Yeah. And it does kind of sound like it kind of sounds like what it means, the title, service-connected condition, yeah. Wow.
And you have to, one of the things, Carrie, that I want you know, our fans out here to be aware of when it comes to this service-connected condition.
Yes.
Sometimes it may not be in your service treatment records that something happened to you. It may not be there. A lot of times, as service members, we're out doing things. We're out and about. Perfect example. You're out and about. You're driving your car, and you get in an accident. And you're taken to a civilian hospital. You wind up, you're in a civilian hospital, the civilian hospital treats you. And those medical records from the civilian hospital never make it into your service treatment record. Somehow it just never made it there. But you got treated at a civilian hospital. Well, guess what, Carrie Hines?
What? I'm wondering, what do you do?
It's still service connected. As long as you have those medical records from the civilian hospital that shows that something happened to you, and it's proven, you were in an accident. You went to a civilian hospital. Case in point, we had one of our veteran brothers, and this is exactly what happened to him. Believe it or not, Carrie, he actually found pictures of himself about almost 50 years ago coming out of a hospital with, if I remember correctly, his arm was broken. They showed his arm in a sling, and it had his name.
Well, he had ultimate proof.
right. Ultimate proof that it happened to you.
Yeah.
Ultimate proof.
So keep
but service connected condition
everything.
It's everything. It is so important, and it doesn't matter how you prove it. Pictures. What's that old saying, Carrie? Pictures of worth a thousand words.
A thousand words. Yes, absolutely.
And the pictures.
I think even articles, more than that.
Yeah, yes. I mean pictures, articles. These are the things that even if you don't have the paperwork that shows you're service-connected, your condition is service-connected, you have other things. So very important. Very
important. I think this is absolutely service-connected condition, number 36. Well, Michael, I know you want to get to number 35 today on this countdown. That'll be our closeout number for today. And then on the next episode, you'll be counting down from number 35 to number 30. So I am super, super excited. So today, Michael, what was that number 40?
Number 40 was clear and unmistakable evidence, better known as a Q claim. Now, number 39 was the presumptive of soundness. Number 38, pre-existing condition.
Yes.
Number 37, service treatment records. Number 36, service-connected condition.
And before you get to number 35, Michael, I want to remind the veterans, please, please, if you have not done so, don't forget, you'll be able to hear this episode along with so much other, so many other episodes and so much other information at HAIRadio.com. Again, that's HAIRadio.com. On the internet, we have our very own Michael Hopkins, who literally runs this. It's the section, your own group page for the Vet Talk Radio Show, Michael. I'm so excited. You have so many things there. It's free to be a member. So simply go to www.hairadio.com and even simpler, hrmember.com. Either of those will take you right there. Sign up. It's free. Michael, what's at number 35 today?
Gary, number 35 is claims and pension contractors.
Hold it. Claims and pension
contractors.
Contractors. Okay. Claims and pension contractors. Okay. Now, what does that mean?
Wow.
Number 35, Michael.
Number 35, Carrie. Basically, it means this, in a nutshell. As veterans, once we file a claim, the VA says, okay, this, it looks like you did have an issue, but we need you to go to an examination. Long, long time ago, Carrie, when it wasn't this influx of veterans, most veterans would go to the VA hospital. We'd go in the healthcare system, and we would get an examination by a VA doctor, who would either say, yes, it's service-connected, or it's not. What has happened now over the past years, it's been so many veterans that the government decided to contract out to private doctors, nurse practitioners, mental health professionals, etc. They contracted out to these professionals to give their professional opinion. Therefore, they're contracted to the government to give their professional opinion on your claim. All the information about your particular claim is uploaded to these medical professionals. And several methods in this case, one of which you, the individual veteran, have to show up physically to what we call a CNP examination or a claims and pension examination. And the contractor, whatever it is, they examine you. It may be a physical examination to determine if you have arthritis or it could be, which is very popular these days, it could be a telehealth examination where you see, where you do telehealth, where you and the person look at each other and you talk about your issue to the contractor.
Through an electronic, like a,
yeah,
like
through
a
electronic
computer or
means.
Telephone or, yeah.
Right.
Electronically. Wow.
Okay. And last but not least, it could be a records review. That's another option.
Review.
Right. Basically, the government, i.e. the claims section, sends the contractor the all your medical evidence that you sent in and they have and they've reviewed. The thing that they need, Carrie, in all three of these scenarios, they need one thing. They need a medical opinion.
A medical opinion.
Medical opinion. Okay. It's either yes or no. That this is more than likely than not, or as least, or least as likely than not, that this is service connected. This is what the government asks for them to do. And they write a medical opinion. And then the government, i.e. the VA claim section, they'll go by that medical opinion to either award you your compensation or deny you your compensation. That's what the claims pension contractors do.
Well, Michael, I have to say, with everything that you bring to the show, with everything for veterans to help them on filing claims, I think this was quite important today, where you covered some of the top terms that every veteran should know when filing a claim. And this is a big series. There are about 40 different terms, and today you covered number 40. Through number 35. So I'm Carrie Hines. And Michael, I just want to say what you say every episode to all the veterans. What is it you'd like to say today?
Carrie, it's all about the vets, their families, the advocates for the vets. It's all about them.
As always, we'll see you back here the next time on the next Vet Talk Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines with Michael Hopkins.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show, the number one hair and beauty radio show worldwide and the longest running hair and beauty radio show.
All right, Michael Hopkins. It is Tuesday morning. It's September 5th of 2023. I'm Carrie Hines. Yes, and to all of our amazing and incredible fans out there, this is a very special Vet Talk Day. Michael, again, good morning. We just heard episode number one. Good morning.
Good morning, Carrie Hines.
We're live. Yeah, Michael Hopkins, the host of Vet Talk Radio, it just dawned on me. I said, well, gee, I don't think we have any new promos for our Vet Talk series. So our fans are going to be treated to some hair radio promos here and there. But good official morning to you. And I think we have a special treat this morning. I mean, everybody's up early. I'm in shock on this Tuesday following Labor Day holiday. So I think we've got one of your amazing co-stars and producers out there, the one and only Nicole Marie down in Water Valley, Mississippi. I just wanted to get everybody on before we go on to episode two and kind of talk a little bit about what's happening today. So, Michael, I hope that's a good thing and we're all up there.
Yes, very good thing.
Yeah, you ready?
Okay. Oh, yes.
Nicole Marie, are you out there down in Water Valley, Mississippi? We're all up live. I really am shocked. I don't know if you can hear me yet because sometimes the system is always a little sensitive after a holiday. So hopefully it'll pop in just a moment. Let me see if we can get that working here and get Nicole Marie into the
Good
mix morning. This morning. Hello, Nicole Marie. You're on with Michael Hopkins, the Vet Talk fan.
Good morning, Nicole Marie.
Oh, my God. Yes, good morning, Nicole Marie. Michael, to both of you, officially, just to bring the fans in on what they're listening to this morning, this is a very special Tuesday in which we are playing back-to-back episodes of Vet Talk Radio.
And I think it might have been Nicole Marie. I don't remember whose idea it was to do this. And I said, how brilliant to do something we've never done. And Michael Hopkins, right. This is, right, Nicole Marie? This is like the end of your second season.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah, so how does that feel, Michael? How does it feel to be going in and doing something like this? And then we'll get folks kind of all set and into your next episode. So how does it feel?
Oh, Carrie, it is fantastic. Going back, and I knew that this particular series was very important. Very important. It's the basis of when you're filing for compensation, knowing all these terms. It's the basis.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I have to tell you, we've put it together today. And
this is
a shock because I didn't expect us to be all so ready. We are just ready to go.
very much so.
I thought the Labor Day holiday was going to be a little bit of a slowdown, but it's had the opposite effect. And I just want to shout out to all of your work, Michael, Nicole Marie's work, pay a little bit of tribute to Noura and Katrina, and to all that the folks who are working behind the scenes to make sure that the Vet Talk Radio show happens every Tuesday morning at 8:30. Now, today is a special throughout the entire morning. We're playing one episode after the other of your special 8-part series on the top terms that every veteran should know. So, Nicole Marie, what do you say about something like this? And what was the spark of inspiration that said, hey, that would be a good idea?
Well, I'm just loving it this morning. I think it's always good to go back and listen to some of the replays of what we've heard, because there's so much information that Michael shares with us each and every Tuesday, and it gives people an opportunity to be refreshed with the information, take notes if they need to take notes. Maybe they didn't hear it the first time, but just an opportunity to just go back and just listen to this information that is so critical in filing a claim.
Yes.
So it can either be for the veteran or even for their family and friends. They can get the information and share it if they're not using
Very
it for themselves.
So I think it's awesome.
Yes, I agree on that, and I echo that sentiment. So today, and we were right on point. I don't even think we had an intro on. We are like, let's get this on.
Yeah.
So
let's get started.
Today, yeah, we're in between. So we'll be joining you here and there in between some of the episodes. We're about to roll into episode number 2. And so what you've been doing is in tranches of 5 with each episode. So it's like 8 parts. So we're going to be counting them all the way down, trying to squeeze it all in before 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 o'clock for Central folks. So we're going to kind of continue. Nicole Marie, officially, good morning. Now, guys, we'll be back with the official Hair Radio morning show tomorrow morning on Wednesday, September 6th, 2023. It'll be our show number 891. We'll be on tomorrow back with the regular Hair Radio. You may hear some Hair Radio commercials in between on the Vet Talk show today. That's okay. Just stay with us because the Vet Talk episodes will all roll on in. So thank you so much. Nicole Marie, thank you. Michael Hopkins, the man of the hour, thank you so much for all that you're doing. Okay. And what do you want to say to folks on the second episode? Just stay with us.
Oh, yes. Just stay with us. You're going to enjoy it.
All right. We'll be back very shortly and keeping you guys abreast. Stay with us. All right, Michael Hopkins. It's so great to be part of the Vet Talk Radio show. And I'm so excited to find out what topic you have on tap for us today. Michael Hopkins, take it away.
Morning, Carrie. Hi.
Yes.
It's so great to be here, Vet Talk Radio show.
Of course.
And today, what we're going to be doing, Carrie, we're going to be continuing our top terms every veteran should know when filing claims.
Okay, so top terms every veteran should know when they are filing a claim. Okay, so awesome. And this is the second part of this incredible ongoing series. I just want to get that on out to everybody. So, Michael Hopkins, go ahead, lead the way. What do you have for us? Now, and by the way, let me just say this also. You're covering, so in kind of tranches of five, so just so that folks know. So if you're great at math, you've already figured out this is going to be like an eight-part series. So this is part two. So, Michael, take it away.
Carrie, we're at number 34. And number 34 is presumptives. And, it's another fancy word, but basically what a presumptive is this, just to give you a good example. Back during, we've had several wars in the last, the last half century. We've had several ongoing wars.
Too many to count.
Too many. In the process of all of this going on, a lot of veterans would come back from service in the combat zones, and they would, in years, sometime it was sooner, sometimes it was later, they would come back suffering for some kind of illness. And the government at that time, the VA, i.e. United States government, really couldn't figure out what they were suffering from. Sometimes it might be a couple of guys, and then all of a sudden it got to the point where there were a lot of people suffering from the same illness. Through research, Carrie, it was determined that whatever theater or operation they were in, that's where the illness was. So at this point, it was presumed, and that's where presumptive comes from, it was presumed that if you served in a certain theater during a conflict, you had whatever it was that was prevalent during that conflict.
So this presumptive is just like an assumption that this is what happened. That's what that means.
Right, pretty much, yeah. Yeah, the government says, if you were stationed in Iraq at a certain time and you were exposed to something, maybe the burn pits or God knows what else happened.
They just presume that.
Yes, they presume, and now all of a sudden you have a respiratory problem.
Wow. Okay,
and
presumptive.
That's where the PACT Act came in, but, that's another story that we'll talk about in a future show.
I can't wait till you cover that.
Right.
So number 34,
right.
The word is presumptive.
Presumptive.
Wow.
Now, Carrie, let's move on to number 33.
Okay.
Number 33 are secondary claims. And that's one of the most overlooked items with veterans. It's one of the most overlooked items. Secondary claims. And basically, a secondary claim comes from a primary thing that happened. In other words, a direct service claim that you, the veteran, filed for, and you were awarded that claim, that rating.
For the primary issue.
Right, through the primary issue. A real typical claim that most veterans file for, and I think, Carrie, this is one of your favorites that you always hear me talk about. It's tinnitus, the ringing in the ears. You remember that one?
I know that in my sleep now.
That's one of the ones
a lot of veterans have. They have ringing in their ears due to what we did in the military. Along with the ringing in the ears, once a veteran is rated for that, and it's only a 10% rating, it can't go any higher than that. That's by law. It can't go any higher.
Okay.
However, Carrie Hines, the ringing in the ear, i.e. tinnitus, can lead to other medical issues. That's where the secondary issues come in. And there are two prominent secondary issues that happens when you have tinnitus. One, you have a mental health issue, believe it or not. Because the ringing in the ear, you might not be able to sleep properly. It's a constant thing. And then all of a sudden, you know, mentally, people can get depressed behind that. They can have anxiety because they're not sure whatever job they work. They might be working in a hospital somewhere, and they think the ringing in their ears are the machines in a patient's room going off. Beep, beep, hum, hum, something like that. And they're not sure.
Wow.
So it can be an anxiety thing. Also, believe it or not, if a veteran has tinnitus, they can also have migraine headaches. And with the migraine headaches, Carrie, that is the darkness. You have to be in the dark. Your head hurts so much you can't function at work. You have to go lay down. It's a myriad of items that can happen to you, the individual veteran, with migraines. And believe it or not, mental health and migraines can turn out to be very high-valued claims.
They were secondary to the primary of tinnitus, which is, you said, only up to 10%, and that's just the way it is.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They are highly valued claims. Mental health can go up to 100%. But guess what, Carrie?
What's that?
The average veteran gets at least 70% for mental health.
Wow.
Which is a big, that's a big value claim.
That's a big chunk. Right. Wow.
Now, the migraines max out at 50%, which once again,
That's a big chunk.
I mean, it's a highly valued claim.
Well, Michael, would the veterans know this? How would they know that this could all emanate from tinnitus? Is this something that they would know? How would they figure that out?
No, a lot of times they don't know, Carrie. And you brought up a value. That's a valid point. A lot of times veterans don't know this. What it takes is you either have to have somebody, if you're getting assistance with the claims process, you have to have somebody that's in the know, that's very knowledgeable of this. And they can, and due to your medical records, they would know that, hey, this person should file for this because they already have these two other things. And this fits right in line with somebody that has tinnitus. So you have to be knowledgeable, or you have to have somebody with knowledge.
Wow.
I always advise, do your research. Do research. And you'll find out.
Listen to the Vet Talk Radio show with Michael Hopkins.
Oh, yeah, that's part of their research, Carrie Hines. Listening to us. That's part of
their
research.
Well, this is very knowledgeable. This is something that you learn a lot from. Very interesting, Michael. Okay, I'm ready for number 32.
All right, moving right along, we have primary claims.
You kind of talked a little bit about primary claims, but please explain again. Yeah.
That is, a primary claim is a direct service
claim. In other words, this happened to you, the individual veteran, when you were on active duty serving your country. Something happened on active duty. You went on sick call, the infirmary, the hospital, doesn't matter what it's called. It happened to you on active duty. That's the key word, Kerry Hines. Active duty. That's where it happened. And you had a diagnosis. You went on sick call. Boom. You got a diagnosis. When you got off of active duty, guess what? You still had that same issue. Perfect example, Karen. This is a typical example of veterans. Typical example. The veterans on active duty, they hurt their back. They hurt their lower back. They fall, something hits it. Doesn't matter what it is. They hurt their lower back on active duty, and it's documented in their original service treatment records, their hospital records from active duty. It's documented.
Wow.
They get off of active duty, Carrie, and guess what?
What?
They still have that problem with their lower back in their civilian life. It affects them so much.
Wow.
Sometimes they can't get up, you know, out of bed. And it all of a sudden, it's just a big problem.
Mm.
So when they file, what happens? They go back to their original service treatment records. There it is right there. I hurt my back on active duty on such and such a date. I got treated for it. When I got out of the military, I either went to my private doctor or I went to the VA. Guess what the VA healthcare system or my private doctor told me? You have a lower back issue.
Yes.
And they continue to treat me for it. That is the perfect storm for a veteran to file for compensation for their lower back. It's the perfect storm.
And again, that's the primary.
And more than likely, they will get rated for their lower back either 10, 20, or 40%, depending upon the severity of their lower back issue.
Got it. Wow. Wow. That is amazing, Michael. So that's what the primary claims are all about. Wow.
Right.
Okay.
That's what it's about, and that's why it's so important for a veteran to have their service treatment records from active duty and their other records, other medical records, when they finish their tour of duty and they go back into the civilian world.
And that's why I can't wait in your upcoming shows, Michael, for you to just remind the veterans about those service records and maintaining all of that. Again, I think from time to time you have to always just remind the veterans how important it is. Yes. Wow.
Oh, very important.
Good stuff. Wow. Okay, Michael, you are moving right along here this morning. Again, this is the second part of this ongoing series that you are really covering on terms that a veteran should know. And I love this. It's a big undertaking here. Now, Michael, I know you are just getting to number 31, but what did this come out of? Why did you decide, okay, we need to cover these terms? What was it that was the trigger for you to cover these terms? Or the inspiration, we'll say it a little better than that, the inspiration.
Oh, Karen, you know, my inspiration was this. I'm out there, you know, in the trenches with the veterans, and I talked to a lot of veterans. And I started noticing that a lot of them did not know or understand a lot of the terminology that was associated with the claims process. They would get decision letters, and the decision letters basically tell you
what the VA decided on, and it would be some of these terms. Or I would be in meetings with veterans, and I might say a term, and everybody is kind of looking at me, you know, like deer in the headlights.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and it just dawned on me. I said, wow, there's some terms you guys do not know. And this affects your filing process and your research process and then your thought process when you're dealing with claims and how to file. You have to know, and I've learned this over the last 4 years of filing for claims, getting denied, getting awarded. And I started to understand the language. As you know, Carrie, everything has a language to it. Everything. It just, and you have to understand the language. Just like being in the military. No, different branches have different language for what they do, what they call something. And I don't care if you've been out 20, 30, 40 years. You can run into a younger veteran. You both still understand the same language. It's like you tell somebody dress right, dress, and we'll all start laughing. And it didn't matter what branch we're in. We just know that means, you know, dress right, dress, get squared away, do what you have to do. We all know right. that. We have guys in my group from Vietnam up to Iraq, Afghanistan, and it's the same thing, you know. 50, 60-year wow. gap, and it's the same thing.
Well, I'm loving this, Michael. Good stuff. This is really amazing. So now on to number 31.
Now, this one, number 31, Carrie, this is one that when I first heard this one, it kind of perplexed me because I actually had it on one of my decision letters. It is called a deferred decision.
A deferred decision.
Deferred decision.
Okay. And what does that mean?
In a nutshell, it means that the VA, i.e. the claim section, right now, they don't have enough medical evidence to award you or deny you a claim for compensation.
As they say, not enough for one way or the other.
Right. They don't have enough evidence. The medical evidence, they have to search for it. They know you got something, Carrie. Oh, they know you got something. They can see it. You know, you've turned in stuff. You've gone to a claims and pension examination. But at some point in time, the claims section wants more. So they can say, okay, this veteran definitely has it. It's in his medical records. We found it. So let's go ahead and award this veteran a rating.
Wow.
And it can get kind of tricky too, Carrie. Sometimes the tricky part is a lot of vets don't understand this, so they kind of like sit there in a holding pattern. Like an airplane, you know, at an airport, it can't land.
Yeah. Know it well.
Yeah, you know that one well, don't you?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. But what I have found, Carrie, is one of the solutions to a deferred decision, go find more medical evidence to give to the VA claim section. Sometimes, you know, Carrie, sometimes it's just as simple as you go into your own medical records and pull out things that they don't have, apparently they can't find, and you send it to them along with a statement in support of claim, and you tell them, this is what I found, and I think this is what you need to successfully rate me for what
good.
I've asked for.
Yeah, they'll kind of accept that and kind of keep it moving. That's kind of nice.
Oh, yeah, and it's worked. I mean, I've done it several occasions, and it's worked. Worked like a charm.
Wow. Amazing. Okay, well, Michael, good moving along. Okay, so, Michael, this is the point where you usually
kind of give us a recap.
Sound like a plan to me. Now, number 35, we talked about, number 34, we talked about
yes.
presumptives.
Yes.
Number 33, secondary claims. Number 32, primary claims. Number 31, deferred decisions.
Now, before you get to number 30, Michael Hopkins, I want to take a moment to really acknowledge your commitment to these incredible veterans. And I have to say thank you for just taking the time to listen to what you're covering on the show with each episode. And I have to give a personal salute to the veterans for their work and what they've done to help keep us all safe. So it should never go unnoticed. And thank you, Michael Hopkins, for your commitment. And thank you
for
your
service. Yes, sir. 100%. As we say in the military, yeah. All the way.
Yeah. All the way. So listen, Michael Hopkins, thank you, and thanks to everybody. I mean, you have an incredible fan base, and it's because of this work. So, Michael, go right ahead. Let us have it. What is number 30?
Well, Carrie, number 30 is not service connected. And
not
all of us as veterans.
Wow.
And that one right there, Carrie, that one is a heartbreaker for a lot of veterans. Not
Not service connected.
Basically, Carrie Hines, what it means is this. You filed for a claim. The VA looked at all the evidence. They sent you to a medical professional for a medical professional opinion, and the medical professional opinion came back to them, and basically it says either this didn't happen on active duty because they can't find medical records, or even the medical records that they have, if somebody was doing this as, say, a secondary, or they don't see it in your medical records as A is connected to B. And I'll give you a perfect example. Example of something not being service connected. You remember that same scenario we just talked about, a veteran hurt their back while on active duty?
Right. Yes.
Well, in our first scenario, the veteran went to the hospital, the clinic, sick call, and it was annotated in their service treatment records or their medical records that it happened on active duty.
Right, right.
See, not a problem. We got a paper trail. A lot of veterans have injuries like that. They hurt their back, and guess what they didn't do, Carrie Hines?
They did not go to get it annotated on their records.
Correct, correct. And this happens lots of times. We, as military people, a lot of times we're told, oh, it's a flesh wound. Suck it up. Throw some dirt on
it.
You're just fine. Yeah, walk it off. Go ahead, soldier. You're okay. You know, don't be a little wimp and all that other good stuff. And a lot of us, especially if we come from what we call hard charging or hardcore units, you know, like infantry units, tankers, you know, real rough and tumble units. If we come from places like that, that's what we did. We just kept it moving. You know, it's only a flesh wound. Are you passing out yet? No, you still okay. Take five, take a rest break, and keep it moving. But guess what happens, Carrie Hines, 20 years later?
Oh, I can
now,
imagine.
Now, you as the individual veteran, guess what you have in this example? You have a back problem. And now you've got x-rays that say that you have herniated discs or you got arthritis. You have an issue with your back. And you think back and you say, oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, I was hopping off the truck or we were working or we had an exercise we were on or something happened. I remember falling hard and I hit my back. You go and file for it. The VA says not service connected. And you're wondering why. Well, I fell when I was in the military. You don't have any proof. And I've had that happen to lots of vets. They have no proof that they fell.
Wow.
Is there anything
they could do at that point?
I'm glad you asked that question, Terry Hines. That, as you would say in the business, that's an excellent question.
Thank you.
The one thing that they could do is this. If they're still in contact with some of their buddies, they could do a buddy letter. They can get a buddy letter, statement in support of claim from some of their buddies that actually witnessed the incident.
Wow.
And if they
That's
witnessed
amazing.
The incident, that might work. But, you
that
know, there's
work.
A 50-50 chance, Carrie, that they can, one, find someone. Yeah, it doesn't hurt. I mean, I I'm going on Facebook and I find guys that I was in the military with that, you know, I haven't seen them in 40 years. I got guys
wow.
I haven't seen in literally 40 years. And by me not seeing them in 40 years, I've been in contact with them.
Wow. That is
yeah,
incredible.
I mean, 40 years, Carrie. And guess what?
What?
Crazy as it may seem, guess what these guys remember, a lot of them?
What's that?
They remember what happened to you when you were on active duty. Sometimes we sit and we laugh about stuff, comical things we did 40 years ago as, you know, young soldiers. And it's a funny thing. They might say, yeah, man, I remember when you fell off the truck. Man, we were all, like, rolling. You fell off the truck. You rolled over in the ditch. And, oh, man, you know, we laugh about it, but guess what, Carrie?
What's that?
You got witnesses that said you fell. And all they have to
that
do
is
do a
amazing.
Statement. Yep. We had
and
a guy in our organization. He was in a car accident in the 70s.
Hmm.
And it was in a truck accident, military truck. They couldn't find his medical records. But guess what they found, Terry Hines?
What? They found some folks who were there.
They found something even better. They actually found a news article out of a newspaper with his name in it and him laying up in a bed. And they were talking about the injuries
that
he had.
Yeah, it gets no better than that. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's just beautiful. But it happens, see? And as veterans, these are the things sometimes we must do. We have to, you know, everybody says think out of the box, and that's what you got to do.
But Michael, what I love about this is that you are just putting it in everybody's mind to keep this at the forefront of your thinking. So don't give up is what my takeaway is today. And I'm hoping that the veterans feel the same way. Michael Hopkins, I have to thank you. This has just been incredible. What would you like to say on closing on this topic today?
It is all about the vets, Carrie Hines. It's all about the vets.
It's Michael's famous tagline. And their families and friends and
families
supporters.
And the advocates.
Yes, and the advocates. We love it. All right, folks. Listen, don't forget, we encourage you to go to our website at HAIRadio.com. There is a place that you can sign up to be a member and follow Michael's information. The easiest, even easier, if you go to HRMember.com. That's HRMember.com. And there, sign up to become a member. It's totally free. Michael has a group page there that you can follow and read all of his articles, or just go to the forum tab once you go to HAIRadio.com. All right, Michael Hopkins, we'll see you back here on the next issue of this incredible series. Thank you again, Michael. Great job.
All right. Yep.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Keri Hinds is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Keri Hinds.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Keri Hinds.
Michael Hopkins, it's Keri Hinds here, and I am so excited to be bringing everybody this episode of the Vet Talk Radio Show. So without further ado, let's get started. So Michael Hopkins, what do you have on tap for us today? Of course, welcoming all the fans of VTR. What topic are you covering today?
Keri, we're going to be covering today what every veteran should know, the terms they should know when they're filing for compensation.
And what part, I understand this is a multi-part series arc, so what number are we talking about?
Right. We're on episode number 3.
All right. Okay, I'm excited to get started. So again, let's just say this. These are the top terms that every veteran should know when filing a claim. So this is awesome. Okay, number 29 through 25 is being covered today. So, okay, so Michael Hopkins, take it away.
Well, Keri, this is one we always talk about, and it's very important. It's medical evidence. Medical evidence is the basis of all these claims, and it's so very important to have medical evidence. If you don't have medical evidence, it's difficult to file a claim. It really is, because there's no basis. So you have to have something in writing that shows that the injury or illness that you sustained while you were in active duty military service happened.
Mm.
Also, Keri.
Yeah.
You know, also with the medical evidence, if you were doing, and we covered this the last session we did, we talked about secondary claims.
Right.
It's the same principle. It's the same principle. You have to have medical evidence. It should be written down. And that solidifies your case, basically, to the government. It solidifies it. You're telling them, in essence, guess what? This happened to me while on active duty, and I have the proof in my medical records. Or if it's a secondary, I have the proof in my medical records as a veteran that because of A, that happened to me while I was on active duty, it triggered B. Perfect example. I'll give you a perfect example. A lot of veterans have knee problems.
Right.
A lot of veterans have knee problems. Well, if your right knee is service connected, you fell in the military, you're playing basketball, boom, you fell, you hurt your right knee. You start having issues with it while doing your active service.
at the end of your tour, you get out, you're still having problems with that knee, you file a claim, guess what? It's service connected. Boom. But Carrie Hines, guess what happened to your left knee?
What?
Your left knee started giving you problems. You know why your left knee started giving you problems, Carrie Hines?
I'm just guessing it's too much pressure since you're not using the right knee too much.
Ding, 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 ding. Yep, that's
right.
What happened.
Yeah.
It's called an altered gait. In other words, you walk funny, you know, in regular terms. You walk with a limp. And a lot of times people will notice it. You, the individual veteran, you may not notice that you walk with a limp. You may not notice it. But your spouse might, your family. And because your right knee has the issue and it's service-connected, now it's affecting your left knee. It could affect your hip, your right hip. And that makes it a secondary. But medical evidence is so very important. That's why a lot of veterans do not get service-connected, either primary or secondary. They have no medical evidence. Oh, I hurt my back while I was in the Army. Oh, that's great, except for one thing. You didn't go on sick call for your back. So, therefore, there's no medical evidence.
And you said in writing.
Right. Has to be in writing. In writing is most important. If it's not in writing, VA won't recognize it.
They won't recognize it. Okay, medical evidence is number 29 on your countdown today. What's the 28?
Now, at 28, Carrie, this one is very important. We didn't talk about this one a lot, but it's important. It's non-accredited veterans organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's a mouthful, but in essence, it means this. There are organizations out there that, yes, they will help you, the individual veteran, with your claims process. They will help you. They'll help you with the medical evidence. They'll help you sort through everything. They'll do all kinds of things. But the key word here, Carrie Hines, is they are not accredited by the U.S. government, i.e. Office of Veteran Affairs in Washington, D.C., to help veterans with claims. They're not accredited. There's an accreditation process that lawyers and also accredited agents go through to become eligible.
Yes, to become eligible. Michael, I have a question for you on that. Okay, so number 28, again, non-accredited, you said, these or veteran organizations that are out there. Now, but does one have to be accredited? I mean, sure, it sounds great if you are. But is there a problem if they're not accredited? That's my question to you today.
Yes, yes. There are problems, Carrie Hines, if they're not accredited organizations. One of the problems is they have access to your Social Security number, to your banking information. They have access because a lot of them will do that. They will tell you, oh, for us to help you,
we need all
this is what we need, all of that.
Right.
There's the downside.
Wow.
And also true, too, the cost.
Oh, this is all
the
bad.
The cost, yes. I mean, it can, sure, they can help you, but there's nothing like the government, i.e. the VA, paid you $10,000 because they owed you retro pay, i.e. back pay. And this organization takes 50% of it.
Which is half or
Which
more.
Which is half, yeah. They take half of your money. And see, by law, as far as the accredited people, 20% is the norm. That's 20% by law, by the government, i.e. the VA up in Washington, D.C.,
20%. So is that the cap, Michael, or is that the average?
No, it's not the cap. It's just normally what is charged to a veteran if they had help from an accredited person.
Gotcha.
And it's all in
so
writing.
On average.
sounds right.
Yeah, on average. Now, if they do a lot more work and so forth, they can go up to 33%.
Okay,
but
so
at that point, at that point in time, they the organization that's accredited by the government, they have to come to you and get the money from you. At 20%, Carrie, the VA actually will send them 20% of your winnings. They will automatically send it to them because there's paperwork you fill out, you know, like an agreement that this is what they get. And it's all legitimate. But when you're dealing with some of these non-accredited organizations, and they advertise all the time on Facebook, YouTube, you know, all the social media, we can help you. We've seen it pop up now with Camp Lejeune. Everybody's mother and brother can help you as a veteran now.
Okay,
all of a
here's
sudden.
Another question on that, though, Michael. And this is on behalf of the veterans. I'm concerned because how do we know with certainty that these organizations that are out there, these so-called veteran organizations that are not accredited or the ones that are accredited, how do we know? How can we make that determination? How can we figure it out if they're accredited or not? With those fancy commercials, like you said, I see them on TV.
Right. Carrie, that is a very good question. I appreciate that question.
Thank you.
The federal government, i.e. the VA up in Washington, D.C., has a listing of all accredited agents and attorneys and law offices and so forth. You can go onto their website, and you can find out everybody and anybody that's accredited with no
problem.
Do you know
what that website is, Michael Hopkins?
It is.
Or we can put it on our social media.
What we'll have to do is I'll have to go back and verify it, and we can put it in our forum. I just want to make sure I get everybody
so
the correct information.
Exactly. And let us just take a quick second to explain our forum. So that you guys will know how to access this link and all of that. Very important. Just simply go to HAIRadio.com. That's Hair Radio. It's pronounced HAIRadio.com. And you will see a big old blue button at the top that says click to read posts. Once you click on that, Michael's big old group page is listed right there for the Vet Talk Radio Show. And you'll see that post plus a whole bunch of others. And if you have any questions, of course, please contact us at the Vet Talk Radio Show or Hair Radio. And you'll see all that at HAIRadio.com. Michael, thank you so much for letting me insert that. Okay, very good stuff, Michael. Very good stuff. So, again, you were talking about the different veteran organizations out there, and like you said, there are so many, and it's important to recognize the ones that are accredited. And again, because there's so many things that could go wrong when providing non-accredited organizations with your personal Social Security number, banking information, and certainly where it pertains to finances and money. So thank you, Michael. Okay, I can't believe this is an incredible list. So what's at number 27, Michael, on your countdown of top terms that every veteran should know when filing a claim?
Now, number 27, Carrie, this is a very good one. This is an important one also. It's called low-value claims.
Ooh,
and a lot of the veterans, they're two types. A low-value claim is normally a claim that is rated at 20% or below. It could be 20%, 10%, or 0%. That's a low-value claim.
Okay. Low-value claim.
Right. And there's a reason why we're talking about low-value claims.
when the individual veteran is filing for compensation and you get to a point in your compensation and you, what you're already rated for, when you get somewhere yeah. between 70 to 90%, this is where this is so important, a low-value claim. Because, perfect example, you could be at, let's say a veteran's at 90%. You would think VA's math would constitute that, gee, to get to 100%, I only need 10% more. That's logical
right.
thinking, isn't
right.
it, Karen? Logical
yeah.
thinking.
Absolutely.
But, of course, we're dealing with who? The government.
Oh, okay.
The government don't think logically when it comes to claims and compensation. They have what we
well,
as veterans.
Let's just say they have their own system. So,
yeah,
Okay, so tell us how does that work? So,
yeah,
wow.
As veterans care, we call it kind of like VA math or funky math. And it's kind of in a nutshell, you go in at 100%. They say you're good to go. Okay, this veteran's 100% when he went in. He gets out, now he starts filing. So they start deducting from that 100% every disability that you have. And it starts to whittle its way down. But at the same time, your percentages go up. They'll say, for example, they'll say, well, guess what? 90% of your body is just jacked up. We know this. You've got all these issues. But 10% of your body is still good. But in order for you to get that 10%, you actually have to get 50% more in ratings to get that 10%. Doesn't make sense, but in other words, if you divide 10 into, 90, you don't move, in
mm-hmm.
other words. You just stay at, you add a 1 to the 9, and, you don't move, in math, in their math.
Wow.
It's
hard to understand. So to get another 10%, you have to go way above and beyond?
Yes, you do. You have to go beyond the call of duty. Oh, and then, Carrie, I forgot. Let me add this other one in to add to the confusion.
Oh, my.
The VA, i.e. the claim section, they may say you're at 90% on paper. So on paper,
right.
It says 90%, but guess what?
What?
Reality can be this. You can be anywhere rated between 85% and 94% in reality.
Okay.
Because you remember the old math thing, round up and round down?
Oh, yes, I remember that.
And if it doesn't get to that 5, you don't round it up. But if it's 4 and below, we go back, we round it back down. So suppose you could be 94.something%, and they'll round it back down to 90%.
Right. There are two different roundups. That is
right.
Popular. Correct.
So
it's above the phone.
If
okay,
all I
so
do is file for, and you know, Carrie, if all I do is I file for my knee, my right knee. I never filed for it. I heard it on active duty, but I never filed throughout this whole getting to 90%. Well, I filed for my right knee, and guess what? I only get 10% for my right knee. I'm actually at 94 points, but I say 93 point something. But guess what? That 10% doesn't move me to where I need to be. I actually need to be at 95%. But that if I'm at 93 point something%, it doesn't move me enough to get me to the 5, and now I'm 100% disabled veteran. It doesn't move me that way. That's why we have to be careful as veterans are filing for low value claims. They have their place. If I was at 94.5%, that same 10% would push me over to 95%, and I'd be happy. I'd be at 100%.
But if I'm at 92, 93, 91, it doesn't do anything for me. It looks good, and I'm rated for it.
Back down.
Yeah, but I still stay at 90%. Yeah, it's real complicated. You know, it's just,
I think you kind of explained it a little bit so that we can kind of get the gist. And, I have to tell you guys, this is very important stuff here. This is great information, Michael, but great details, I want to say specifically. I look at this, and these are, I think these are important top terms, and I don't remember you covering all of these to this degree. So these are top terms that every veteran should know when filing a claim. This is an all-new episode three, third as part of an eight-part series. This is your third installment. Great, great work, Michael Hopkins. Okay, I'm excited. This is great. Okay, Michael, I'm going to let you rip. What do you have at number 26?
Now, number 26, high-value claims. We just did low. Now we got high-value claims.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You saw that one coming down the pike, didn't you?
I saw it coming. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
All
right. Now, your high-value claims, Carrie, these are the claims, like we just talked about, the rating where you are, the 93, 94. A high-value claim, that's at 30% or above. Those are like top-tier type claims that every veteran should go after, especially when you're in the higher levels, when you're at 70, 80, 90%. You should go after high-valued claims that are 30% or above, because that's what's going to get you to your 100%.
Exactly.
The average, say, for example, sleep apnea. Sleep apnea is a highly valued claim for veterans. It's a highly valued claim, Carrie. The reason being is this. Sleep apnea can get you rated at 50% if
50.
You use some type of breathing device, i.e. a CPAP. And many veterans have a CPAP, that's a continuous positive airway machine.
Wow.
Many veterans have that.
That's what the
CPAP stands
for.
Right.
Wow.
And the thing about this example of a CPAP, most veterans that have been on active duty, it's very rare that you'll find a veteran that was diagnosed on active duty with a sleeping disorder. And that's what obstructive sleep apnea falls under. It's a sleeping disorder. It's very rare, Carrie, that you find a veteran that was on active duty and they were diagnosed with sleep apnea and they were giving a CPAP machine. Very rare. On the other hand, guess what?
What's that?
If they have some type of breathing issue, mental health issue, insomnia, high blood pressure, there's a series of things that if a veteran has those things as a primary, and we covered primary, if they had that, they were diagnosed with it on active duty, and they suffer with it, and they develop sleep apnea, they can file for it and possibly win, because it's a secondary now. It's a secondary to the primary thing that happened to them while they were on active duty serving this country.
Unreal.
And Carrie, there's even a kicking part, too. There's a kicker to this.
Okay, let's hear it.
The kicker is this. Sometimes as veterans, we take medications that cause weight gain. We have arthritis that causes weight gain. Now, you can't get rated for weight gain by itself as a veteran. There's no rating for that in the rating tables. But guess what?
that weight gain is what they call an intermediate step, because of if you have bad hips and it causes you not to be able to exercise, all of a sudden you gain weight. Well, by you gaining weight, that can cause you to have sleep apnea, all kinds of other illnesses that are secondary to the weight gain. And that's another way a veteran can get rated for a high-value claim.
I love that. And you said the high-value claims are 30% or greater.
30% or greater. Those are high-value claims.
And just be aware of those intermediate steps that you might not.
Yeah, intermediate steps with the weight.
Yeah,
very important. A lot of, you know, Carrie, a lot of veterans don't really think about that one. When we're filing,
exactly.
We don't really think about intermediate steps.
Mm-hmm.
But it's mm-hmm. right there. It's in the regs. There was a court case, and it was determined that as a veteran, if you had weight gain, you had any things like this, it's an intermediate step. A lot of times as veterans, we just don't know these things, Carrie Hines. We just don't know.
Well, that's
nobody,
the importance.
They know now.
That's the importance
right.
of the Vet Talk Radio Show, Michael Hopkins. Which,
right.
I'm going to just jump on in this time. We want to remind everybody of a few things. But first, can you give us a reminder of those from numbers 29 to 26, Michael, on today's countdown?
Right. Number 29, medical evidence. Number 28, non-accredited veterans organizations. Number 27, low value claims. Number 26, high value claims.
Absolutely. And before you get to number 25, I just want to remind everybody, first of all, an official salute to all the veterans out there. And don't forget to please, please go to HRmember.com to sign up so you can follow Michael and his amazing group page, all about the Vet Talk Radio Show. Again, just go to www.hrmember.com. Michael, I am so proud of all of this. This is great details and top terms every veteran should know. Please, please, when following a claim, of course, take it away, Michael. What's at number 25 on today's countdown?
Gary, number 25 is one that all veterans should be aware of. This one's so very important. Decision letters.
Oh, my.
Very important.
Go all by itself.
Right. It is. We could actually do a whole show on decision letters, how to read them, what they mean.
All right.
And that'll be coming up. We'll do a show on decision letters.
Yes.
But the decision letter, Carrie, is so very important. Because
tell us why.
The decision letter tells a veteran why the claims and compensation section decided to either rate you or not rate you. They decided if it's service connected or it's not service connected. And they go through great lengths to explain this to a veteran. And it's broken up in several parts. And usually the main part most vets look at, they either been denied or they've been granted. That's usually the only part most veterans look at.
Right.
They're happy if they got
we call that the bottom
granted.
You know, bottom line.
Yeah, the bottom line. Uh-huh. The bottom line. They're happy
yeah.
as all get up if on that letter it says the veteran has been granted service connection for this and
woo-hoo.
They've been given a rating. Yeah, that's like a whoopee. Yes. Downside is, Carrie, if they say it's not service connected and it's been denied. And that's
that part right there is what really gets to a lot of veterans if they get denied.
Absolutely, and I can understand that. But, Michael, here's the thing on that. Isn't there something, there's always the possibility for hope. And, you know,
it is.
And that's what I really want you to talk about, Michael, because like you said, you know, if you get that and it sounds like it's bad news, but what options do they have at that point as a veteran?
The options that they have, Kerry Hines, as a veteran, if they get a decision letter and they're denied,
yes,
they have recourse. They are, back in 2019, the government, what they decided to do, they decided to give veterans more options back in 2019. And they have what they call it like a three-lane series of things you, the veteran, can do. One, it's called a supplemental claim. Basically, the supplemental claim means this. You find some new evidence that the claim section does not have. You found something new, some medical evidence, a buddy letter, statement. You found something they don't have when they made that decision to deny you. And what you do, of course, is the government, you got to fill out another form. It's called a VA form 20-0995, a supplemental form. You fill that form out. You send in the new evidence and your statement explaining the new evidence. The claim section reviews it, and if it's new, what they call new and relevant evidence, that same thing that you got denied on, Kerry Hines, you can have a victory and get service connected for it, either on a primary or secondary basis. That's the first one.
Yeah.
The second one, same scenario, you got denied. But you think, as the individual veteran, you had all of the evidence that you needed in order to get approved, in order to win your claim. So this one is called a higher level review. In other words, this is what happens. As usual, it's another form. It's called a VA form 20-0996, higher level review. Basically, this is your side of the story, and you're telling the claims people that, hey, I want somebody like a supervisor, like we would, you know how we always say, I need to talk to your manager as civilians.
Exactly. Get me your boss.
Get me the boss. Yeah, that's what we do. That's what this form is for. I want to talk to your boss because I don't think you had enough experience doing this, adjudicating my claim, looking at it, you know, reading the evidence. You didn't have, as a person that was doing this, I don't think you had enough experience. I need to talk to your boss. And even within the form, Kerry, the beautiful thing about that form, you have several options on that form. You can actually request to talk to somebody right at the claim section. You can put down a time and a date that you're available to talk to somebody to tell them your side of the story. As they call it, the VA calls it, maybe it was a difference of opinion. You thought A, the person that was filling this out and adjudicating your claim, they thought B.
Exactly.
And it's just a matter of, and sometimes, Kerry, like in my case, I did this, I pleaded my case, and come to find out, the VA had made an error in my particular claim. They overlooked something that if I hadn't have said anything, they would have let it go. They would have said, okay, you're denied, that's it. But because of tenacity, and that's what I want every veteran to understand, you got to have tenacity when you're doing this. You have to go after this with your heart and your soul. You have to, because sometimes the VA is wrong when they adjudicate your claim. They told
and
me
I
didn't
like
have tinnitus. Right. Tenacity.
And also just don't take the no. You must not just throw you know, the baby out with the bathwater. Don't just give up hope.
Right.
You gotta keep the hope there. And that's what, Michael, that's what you've been talking about for almost 2 years now.
Right.
On our network with the Vet Talk Radio
right.
show. So I'm super excited. Michael, I just
right.
have to say this is incredible, and it's very helpful for folks to know. And again, it's been your third installment on this series from 29 to 25. And again, top terms that every veteran should know when filing a claim. Now, Michael, I understand that you have an entirely new tagline that's all about serving for the veterans. So I am super excited, and I cannot wait to hear it. And so I'm going to just start and lead Michael off with this. If you served.
Right. You deserve
okay, Michael.
Exclamation
okay.
point.
So if you serve, you deserve. Michael Hopkins, I'm Carrie Hines out of Brooklyn, New York. Michael Hopkins in beautiful Spotsylvania, Virginia. And to all the amazing veterans, we salute you. We love you. We'll see you back here again soon. Great job, Michael Hopkins.
Well, it's like I get to wake up early and have a cup of coffee and breakfast with my favorite two folks in the whole wide world every day. That's Nicole Marie and Michael Hopkins. And I'm Carrie Hines right here on the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. And you get to do the same thing. We start from 6 a.m. Eastern, 5 Central Time. Take the show all the way to 9 o'clock in the morning here in New York Live. Always make it a great day.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, Michael Hopkins, I was just saying to folks here in the room, in the studio, good morning officially. Again, it's September 5th, Tuesday, 2023.
Oh,
Michael, we've been listening to the 8-part series on top terms, kind of coming in now, coming up on episode number 4. What would you like the listeners of your Vet Talk Radio show to, what would you like the takeaway to be? What was the whole idea behind this? I think we chatted a little bit about it at the top of the broadcast this morning, but what would you like the folks to know?
Carrie, what I would like everybody to know about these top terms that they're listening to, they're so very important. It's important that the individual veteran understands these top terms even before you even file a claim, Carrie. You need to understand these things. You don't have to be perfect at it. You just need to understand, because this is the basis of when you file for compensation. If you don't understand things like my claims being deferred? Or what is a low-value claim versus a high-value claim? If you don't understand things like that, these terms, you're going to take a longer time to get to that magic 100% that all of us as veterans strive for. You're going to take a longer time because you're going to be going after low-value claims, claims that are 10 or 20%. And it takes a long time. If you go after those types of claims for compensation, it's going to take you longer to get to 100% because of what we call as veterans, we call it that VA funky math. And we've talked about it before on some of our previous shows. Sometimes with the VA, you could be, say, good example, you could be at 90% and you, the individual veteran, thinks, wow, if I get 10% more, I'll be at 100%. That's what you as a veteran or would think. But unfortunately, because the way the math is structured with the VA, that's not going to happen. It doesn't push you over the top. They go by partly by a system of when we went in the military, we were 100%. We were what we call in the military. We were good to go, what we call in the military. Everything worked on you, mind, body, spirit. Everything worked according to the military.
Well, Michael, I have to say this is quite an awakening, and
very
I just love listening to the episodes with all the fans of the Vet Talk Radio Show. And just to remind everybody that this is our special Labor Day marathon of the Vet Talk Radio Show. Again, top terms that every veteran should know, and you take it to episode number 8, and don't forget that we're rolling in on the season 3, so don't forget to tune in every Tuesday morning about 8:30 Eastern generally for the show, but today's a special marathon, one episode of your favorite Vet Talk Radio Show special after the other. So again, Michael Hopkins, we're about to roll into episode 4, so you're getting to the halfway point.
Awesome job.
Well, listen, folks, we're going to hit the buttons and let's just, you know, stay tuned. I'm excited to hear where you are on this countdown, Michael.
Very much so, Carrie. So am I.
All right,
very
Michael Hopkins.
So.
It is so great to be back with you on the air today. So I'm ready to jump right on in. Today's topic is all about what, Michael Hopkins, for the Vet Talk Radio Show?
Today's topic is top terms every veteran should know when filing a claim.
Okay. And so, Michael Hopkins, first of all, as with every episode, we salute our amazing veterans and fans of Vet Talk Radio Show. Now, I want to talk about this because what we've been doing is a special 8-part series, literally, on the top terms. And today is the 4th installment in which you're covering numbers 24 down to number 20. So we are so excited. So, Michael Hopkins, I'm going to just have you to take it on away. Again, top terms every veteran should know when filing a claim. And again, we salute our amazing veterans. We love you. We appreciate you being part of this broadcast today. Take it away, Michael Hopkins.
Yes, Carrie. We're at numbers 24, and that is the Board of Veteran Appeals.
Oh,
or, yes, or better known as the BVA. That's what us as veterans, that's what we know it as, the BVA.
Okay. The BVA.
The BVA, and pretty much the BVA
it determines whether a veteran is entitled to claims and benefits. In other words, you file for a claim. Your claim got turned down.
Okay.
You may have done a high-level review where you had somebody senior look at what you filed. They turned it down. Well, the next thing left is the Board of Veteran Appeals. And basically what happens, you can appear in front of the board, like with a lawyer or representative, and once again, they review your side of the story, why you think that you should get compensation. You should get rated for something.
Wow.
They determine it. Yeah, and there's usually three members on the board, and they call them law judges.
Oh, my.
And what they do is they go through all the evidence that you have presented. You can't really submit a whole lot of more new stuff, but they will go through everything that you have submitted already.
Huh.
And then even your testimony, they'll even allow you to testify on your behalf why you think you should be awarded something. You know, your lawyer gets involved or your representative, and it can actually, the Board of Veteran Appeals can overturn the ruling.
Wow.
And it could be in your behalf.
So it's worth the effort. It's definitely
It's worth the effort. It just takes a while because, you know, over the last few years, there's been thousands and thousands of people that have done the same thing. So I can't remember the exact number that they're up to, but it's a pretty high number. Maybe 50, 60,000, maybe more. And what was supposed to happen, all of this stuff, when they started going through new systems and so forth, a lot of this was supposed to be cleaned up because they just didn't have enough laws judges.
Wow.
They didn't have enough people. And it's still a struggle, but it is an option that a veteran has. It might take you 2 years, 3 years, but on the good side, if they award you, then you have to get paid all the way back to the time you started this.
Wow. So to me, that sounds like a very good way to go if you feel that you have, you know, that you need some fresh eyeballs on it, so to speak.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, if you need the fresh eyeballs and you think that you have something, then go for it. Go for it. Oh, yeah.
I knew that was what you were going to say, Brother Michael. All right, Michael Hopkins, Vet Talk Radio Show. Now, again, the top terms every veteran should know when filing a claim for compensation. Okay, again, you're covering numbers 24 down to 20 on the fourth installment today of the top terms. So I'm excited to hear what you have at number 23.
Well, at number 23, it is called a higher level review, or an HLR. That's what we know it as. And this is another really exciting one, too, the high-level review. The reason why I say it's exciting is because, once again, you, the individual veteran, has the right to disagree with the claims and pension section of the VA. You have a right to disagree with them. Right. A lot of times what has happened, Carrie, you've gone through a CNP exam, your claims and pension exam, and in the process of going through it, you get a decision letter, and the VA denies your claim.
Wow.
They denied it. This is not service-connected because it was opined by the contractor that they had that examined you, and in their medical opinion, what you have is not service-connected, according to their medical opinion.
Right, right, right.
And you as the individual veteran, you can disagree with that. There is nothing to say that you have to agree with what they said. Part of the high-level review is this. You have, I don't know if it's a term for it, but let's just do it like this. You have regular workers that adjudicate, or they look at these claims and they make decisions. Yeah, well, maybe in your opinion as a veteran, they overlook something, or maybe they don't have enough experience that you feel to adjudicate or to make a decision about your claim. Right.
Wow.
Right. So you request, and that's what it is. It's a request to have a more senior person look at your claims and look at what you turned in and give their opinion. And you know, Carrie, you know what the good thing about this is on this high-level review?
What's that?
You can actually request to talk to somebody at the claims and pension section of the VA.
Wow.
You can actually request, you would fill out, it's a VA form 20-0996. That's the request for a high-level review. Once you turn that in, on the form, it asks you if you want to talk to someone.
That's helpful.
It's very helpful because normally... Yes, most definitely, because normally we don't, as veterans, we don't get a chance to talk to the people that are doing these claims for us.
Right. Well, could you imagine? Because almost, to me, I would, of course you want to talk to somebody that might give you a little, you know, more direction. And they're reviewing what's happening. I'm raising my hand. I'd be right there in, you know, on that one.
Right.
Wow.
And it's like an informal. It's not a formal sit down, drag out like we did with the BVA. This is just an informal conversation.
But now, Michael, I just want to go back to make sure I understand. Did you mention that these are like peer level, or in other words, folks who are basically on the same line as yourself, or who makes up the review part of this? I know this is the CMP exam, but who makes up this review board, if you will, or the review part of this for the, like, with the HLR?
Oh, okay. The HLR person is someone that has been in the claims and pension section for a very long time. So they know more of the rules and regulations. They're a senior type person. Maybe they've been doing this for the last 10, 15 years or more. So there are things that they look for that if you have a person, they've only been working maybe 2 to 4 years, maybe there's some little nuance, some little thing that I'll give you a perfect example, Carrie. Perfect example. Myself, I have tinnitus, ringing in the ears.
Yeah.
And in the process of me filing, I filed for hearing loss. Well, tinnitus and hearing loss are two different things. Turned down for the hearing loss, but the audiologist that the VA hired to examine me clearly put in writing that I had tinnitus, and it was service connected. He put it in writing.
Wow.
The person that adjudicated my claim also put it in writing because I filed again another year for the same thing. And what they said is that I contradicted myself when I said that I had the issue. Well, you see, Carrie Hines, there was one problem with this whole thing, and it took me 4 years to straighten it out.
And what was that?
It was really simple. The person that examined me, the audiologist that examined me, had already put in writing that I was service connected for it.
Mm.
It was already in writing. So all they had to do, it's called a duty to assist.
Oh,
that's
yes.
what it's called.
Yes, I remember.
It's a duty to assist, and that's what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to shift gears.
Got it. Wow.
Right. And they failed to shift gears. And I had to bring it to their attention. And this happens a lot of times with veterans
wow.
in their decision letters. And
yeah.
they don't read the decision letter because nobody teaches us how. And
yeah.
you will find all kinds of errors and omissions in your decision letters. And it turned
potential ones.
Yeah, potential stuff. You just have to read those letters.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's what happens.
And, Michael, we need to remind everybody of that. You know, I know you've covered different things in telling all the veterans and the fans of the show, but you really got to go through things carefully and reread it. I've heard you say read it over again and then again. It's helpful.
Oh, yes, most definitely.
And don't give up hope and think it's the dead end, you know.
No.
Always. Well, Michael, I am appreciating this today. Again, Michael Hopkins is covering the terms every veteran should know when filing a claim. Again, it is the fourth installment in a series of eight. So you're about the midway point, literally, and the midway point of today's broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
We're counting from 24 down to number 20, from 24
right.
to 20 today. 19 will be the next installment. But, yeah, so you're at 22, Michael. What have
right.
you got this today?
Now, number 22 is a supplemental claim.
Hmm.
And you
supplemental
say
claim.
Supplemental claim. Yeah, and a lot mm-hmm. of guys will say, well, what does that mean? A supplemental claim is presented to the claims and pension section of the VA by the veteran who has discovered after he's filed, and maybe they came back and said, hey, we don't see this as service connected. The individual veteran searched through their medical records or they found something else that was new and relevant evidence that the claims and pension section did not have. So you file a supplemental claim, and that's on VA Form 21 or VA Form 20-0995. Let me repeat that again. That's VA Form 20-0995. And that's the supplemental claim form. And you would submit that form along with the new and relevant evidence that shows that you should get rated, i.e., you should get awarded compensation.
That sounds pretty good to me.
Oh, yeah. Yes, a lot of times veterans have more medical evidence than they know what to do with it, and sometimes they forget to submit certain things.
Uh-huh.
So they would go back and submit it.
So this is in addition to their original claim. This is a
right.
form where they can
right.
add in things that they might have forgotten or would like to add to what they had submitted.
Right, and the thing about this, you can't submit this until after you get your decision letter.
Uh-huh.
Once the VA has decided, like a yay or a nay, that's when you can do the supplemental claim.
Because is it a good idea that once they make the decision, is it that you may not need to submit anything further, or do you advise everybody to still submit something further? Would that make sense?
Well, yes, it does make sense, Carrie Hines. One of the things that as veterans, that we have to look at, even though we have been given a favorable decision from the VA,
yes,
they may have missed something that could mean the difference between one rating and another rating. And we could be holding the key in our hand and don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, they could, for example, you could get rated 10% for something. But you have x-rays that show that your condition has gotten worse, and your condition could dictate 30%.
So in other words, it would have been favorable for the lesser, but if you have submitted this form, then you could have been qualified for a higher rating.
Right. Yeah, you could have been qualified for a higher rating. Or if they turned you down, they denied you, you could have medical evidence that coincides with the rating that you should have gotten.
This sounds like an important form for really.
Oh, yes, it is. The supplemental is very, very important.
Yes. What was it? You said Form 20-099.
Yep.
I'm writing it down for all my veterans.
Yep.
Buddy,
VA Form 20-0995.
Wow.
Supplemental form. Very important form.
Yeah, I think so too, Michael. That speaks very highly of you covering this today. Okay, I'm excited. All right. Don't forget that supplemental claim form. Okay. All right, Michael. So now we are counting them down today. We're knocking them out. I'm very excited about this. Again, top terms every veteran should know when filing a claim. So, Michael, today we are at number 21 as you count down from 24 to number 20, the top terms today. So, Michael, what's next?
Now, Carrie, number 21 is diagnostic codes.
Oh, my. Okay. Now, even I know what that means now. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I've learned. I have learned, everybody. Diagnostic codes, Michael Hopkins. Let's talk about that. Number 21 on your top terms. What are diagnostic codes for everybody's benefit?
Now, the diagnostic codes are four-digit codes that are assigned to every kind of illness, injury that's in the CFR 38 Part 4, that Code of Federal Regulations Part 4.
Yes.
Anytime we file as a veteran and we are awarded compensation, it falls under one of those 833 injuries or illnesses, and each one of them has a four-digit diagnostic code to it. That's how you as the individual veteran and how the VA identifies with what you have, what you're rated for.
Yes.
And
wow.
It's very important as a veteran that you know what you're rated under, what diagnostic codes, because sometimes even with the diagnostic codes, they may not appear as what they should appear to be.
Right.
There are certain things like insomnia, for example. You can get rated for insomnia, but the codes that it's under fall under mental health. But who would know that? You know, if you don't read to understand why they rated you that way, you won't know. Sometimes you as the individual veteran, you could be under the wrong diagnostic code and don't know it.
Well, now, Michael, let's talk about that. So how would the veteran figure that out? I wouldn't know that necessarily, would I? Or should I?
No, as an individual veteran, you wouldn't necessarily know it, but what you should do as an individual veteran is to go to the CFR, that's the Code of Federal Regulations, number 38, part 4. And it lists 833 diagnostic codes. And you can look the codes up. It costs you nothing to look them up. It costs you nothing to print them out. They're from the federal government, i.e. the VA. And it will tell you exactly. Plus, Carrie, here's another one. Even if you, the individual veteran, if you're not sure what diagnostic codes or your claims for compensation fall under, that you've been rated,
yes,
you can call up the claims intention people. You can literally call them up.
The CNP folks.
The CNP folks, yep. They will send you a sheet that tells you every diagnostic code that you fall under. They will literally send you a sheet of paper, and it comes in handy because these are things that you as the individual veteran have to know.
And that so that you can make sure.
Yeah. It's this whole claims thing, you know, it's work, but it's rewarding work for you as the individual veteran, because you're going to get compensated for things.
You may not
get compensated for everything, but you're going to get compensated for things that happen to you while in the service of our great country.
That is service connected.
Wow. Yeah, it has to be service connected.
Wow, amazing. Well, Michael, I'm loving all of this today, and I just want to take a moment to remind everybody that you are really just shedding a whole lot of light on behalf of the veterans. And let's not forget their families, making a difference in the lives of the veterans. And that's what you cover here on your show. So, Michael, this has been just an exciting time. And, you know, just keeping all of this front and center in the mindsets of those who are veterans. Let's take it from the top. Yes, indeed. It's time to count back. So give a review of today's numbers, Michael, and what they mean.
In review, Carrie Hines, number 24 is the Board of Veteran Appeals, better known as the BVA. Number 23, that's your higher level review. That's the HLR. Number 22, this is your supplemental claim. Number 21, the diagnostic codes.
The four-digit codes, yeah.
Right, that's the four-digit diagnostic codes.
And this is important. Before you get to number 20 on today's closeout, of the number 24 to number 20, I just want to get, if you have not done so, you can follow and connect with Michael Hopkins around the clock, 24 hours a day, by simply going to www.hrmember.com. There's no F on the end, just hrmember.com. There you can sign up to be a member. If you are already a member, you will see the other members' faces and profiles there, and you get to follow them, friend them, connect with them. In addition to that, right at the same site, again at www.hairadio.com, at hairradio.com, which is the overall site, there's a big blue button, Michael, where folks can read your most recent post. And Michael has his own group page there where you'll see it right near the top of the list of all the wonderful pages that we have there. And you can follow Mike. You can sign up and follow the entire group. So, Michael, what's at number 20 today?
Drum roll, please.
All right. Okay. This will be a good one. All right. I'm excited today. Top terms, again, every veteran should know when filing a claim. Again, this is part 4 of 8. And, okay, Michael, take it away. Number 20.
Right. Number 20 is filing for compensation, the forms itself, filing for compensation.
Filing for compensation. Okay, explain that one, Michael Hopkins.
when a veteran is filing for compensation, there are various forms that must be filled out. And they should know, you know, we say it's a claims form, but actually it's compensation. It's filing for compensation. And it's very important because if you don't fill out the right form, you won't get compensated. It will take longer.
Yeah. Wow. It could delay.
Right. It will delay the process. And we're not trying to delay the process.
Not at all.
Not at all. It is so very important as the, for the individual veteran to look at the dates on the forms. The VA, just like any government agency, they have dates on the forms that you're using to file for compensation. You're
wow.
supposed to be using the latest form with the latest date on it because they change things. Every few
right.
years, things are changed.
So that's, in other words, you have to use the most current available
right.
form.
It has to be current.
And if not, it could potentially delay your claim compensation. Wow. Amazing.
Very much so. Right now, the VA, they're going through a transition with different forms. One of the forms that they've just changed is the application for compensation.
Yeah.
And that form is a VA form 21-526EZ. Let me repeat it again. It is a VA form 21-526EZ. And Carrie, the latest edition of that form is November of 2022. That's the latest edition.
As of this broadcast.
As of this broadcast.
Okay.
Very
well, Michael,
important.
This, it seems that way. All of these items that you covered today are critical in your process. And this is, again, why everybody who's a vet should know the top terms. Again, every veteran should know when filing a claim. Okay. I am just thankful, Michael. Great job. Outstanding. So what do you say to all of the veterans? Again, if they have served, then what, Michael Hopkins?
If they have served, Carrie Hines, they deserve.
All right. Okay. On that note, we'll see you the next time. Great job, Michael. Awesome. All right. It is September 5th, 2023. We're back live. It is our special VTR episode. Michael Hopkins down in beautiful Spotsylvania, Virginia,
who is
the official host of VTR. Michael, I just got to say, this was very special. We have one more of the marathon episodes left today. I'm super excited about it. It brings us to episode number 5. And let's just have you weigh in on this, Michael, with how it's been received all. And have you been enjoying listening to all of these incredible replays of episodes that about top terms? I've been loving it myself. What about you?
Oh, yes, Gary. I've been loving it also. Just these are the things when I'm in the trenches and I talk to my veterans and I'm helping them with their compensation as an accredited claims agent, these are the exact terms that I talk to them about all the time. Exact terms.
Awesome.
Oh,
yeah. It's been fun. I'm like, wow,
oh, yeah.
This is excellent. Yeah, really good stuff. Yeah, because, you know, we put together 8 episodes on the top terms that every veteran should know. And I love this, that you thought Labor Day, the day after Labor Day, again, this is 2023, and we thought that it would be great to kind of get on to pay tribute to the mm-hmm. veterans and have them with this very popular series that you did earlier in 2023. So I'm excited about it, and so much more still to come. Now, Michael, hey, I wanted to just remind everybody, so episodes 6, 7, and 8 will actually air tomorrow. So episodes 6, 7, and 8 will air on Wednesday. So I just wanted to let everybody know, starting at 7:30 Eastern, if you're in a central time zone, that'll be 6:30 in the morning, episodes 6, 7, and 8. So to wrap up this entire series, Michael, what do you say about that? You want folks to tune in now? Again, Michael, you'll be on tomorrow's show, again, throughout the whole broadcast, but the Vet Talk wrap-up of this special series on the top terms will start at 7:30 Eastern time, 6:30 Central, and go till 8 o'clock Central and 9 o'clock Eastern. That's on Wednesday, September 6th, tomorrow. Is that pretty clear, Michael Hopkins?
Oh, it's loud and clear. Loud and clear, Carrie Hines.
All right, folks. Well, I'm glad you've been enjoying this, and I have enjoyed it as well. And the morning just flew by, so that is...
Yes, it has.
Yeah, that's incredible all by itself. So, listen, we're going to go ahead and keep things rolling on into top terms number 5. So this is number 5, episode number 5 today. Going all the way to episode number 8. Again, episode 6 and 7 and 8. So there will be 3 episodes playing tomorrow, again, starting mid-show at about 7:30 New York time, 6:30 Central time. So let's get on episode number 5 today. I cannot wait to hear this, Brother Michael. It's going to be just awesome, really, to get things rolling along and just on the way.
Very much so. I can't wait to get the feedback from the veterans like I normally do. I normally get a lot of excellent feedback from the veterans on what they've heard, and they tell me their feelings. And for the most part, they enjoy this stuff. It educates them. They'll always say, "Hey, I didn't even really know that. Wow, you know, I knew some things, but you've actually educated me on topics I had no idea about."
Wow.
That's what I love hearing from the vets.
And to hear that, awesome. So I'm excited about this. It's really nice. And Michael, to keep tell your fans that we do need to hear their response to things and some of the things that they hear, so we know what folks like and we can continue to bring them the kind of content that they want. And also, I also want to hear, Michael, I cannot wait until you have some more interviews on your Vet to Vet series and, segment that you want to do on the show. What would you like folks to know about that?
Oh, yes, Carrie. Going into our third season, that is one of the things, if not the thing, that we're going to be doing. There are so many veterans out here that have had wins marching towards their 100%. If not, they've gotten to 100%. And we want to hear from them. You know, out there, veterans, we want to hear from you. You got to 100%. You've been helped by us getting to 100%. Or even if you're close to 100% and you've had some wins, we at the Vet Talk Radio Show here on the Hair Radio Morning Show would love to hear from you. And Gary, what's the best way for them to contact us?
Well, I think through social media. We also have our website through through AfroLock.com as well, which is our magazine, our monthly magazine publication that is just out. And there's a new issue out now. And you can always go to AfroLock.com. You can also go to HairRadio.com to see the landing page that we have. And just let us know if you have any questions about anything, anything that you would like to know about. Or to get some more details about and all of that wonderful good stuff. That's what this is about. It really is. And we're just excited to be able to have something like this that we can bring everybody. And so we're going to see if we can kind of keep things rolling along. And, Michael, I think it might be a good idea to bring episodes all the way on through from 5, 6, 7, and 8. So we'll definitely get them aired on tomorrow's episode, on tomorrow's broadcast, and maybe even throughout the week. This is what's important. We want to hear. And I love listening to the episodes that we've done.
Oh, yeah. So do I.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
do I.
It doesn't get much better than that. So we'll do just that. So, listen, I'm going to get on a little bit and see if we can – kind of break things up here and just stand by. We'll see what we can bring in and keep it moving here this morning. Let's see if we can get this started. All right, stand by. Okay, Brother Michael, thank you very much. And just wanted to inform the listeners and everybody, it is Tuesday morning. It's September 5th of 2023. Michael, you're about to head over into season 3. And that's going to kick in starting next week. Is there any particular topic, your number one topic that you want to make sure everybody is aware of? Like, this is where you really want to kick off and start.
Okay. We're going to be talking about secondary claims. And this is an expanded version of it. Man.
The secondary, that seems like such a big, big, big topic, Michael. We're always, that's one that we're always looking towards. And why is that? Why is it that folks just don't know about the secondary?
And you're right, Carrie. A lot of times I find that a lot of veterans know the significance of secondary claims, and they're very significant. The reason being is this. We, as veterans, we have primary claims. Basically, the primary claims, that's what happened to us when we were on active duty. We fell. We hurt our back. We got exposed to some kind of herbicide or burn pit, or we have a respiratory problem that comes from active duty, knee problems, arthritis, you know, the whole gambit of things, PTSD.
Right.
However, Carrie Hines, many veterans forget that those primary issues create other issues. And that's where the secondaries come in. They create other issues.
And to me, I can kind of get the concept of the secondary. But, Michael, is it somewhat challenging for some folks to really understand how the secondaries work? Why is that so hard to kind of get for us? I don't understand. Why is it challenge to get that?
Well, Carrie, many times as veterans, we are so, I guess you would say, hyper-focused on everything that happened to us on active duty. You know, we are just lasers, hyper-focused. Unfortunately, a lot of times, people that are helping us with claims, or if you're doing your own claims, the secondary claims sometimes don't come up in conversations when you're filing for your claims. Many times they don't come up. A lot of times, a lot of veterans don't see the relationship of what you're already service-connected for and the ramifications of other issues that pop up with what you're service-connected for. A lot of us don't see that. We just think, oh, wow, yeah, I'm okay. And you know, you hear that over and over again with vets. They may have, say, for example, they have a back issue and they're rated 10% for their back issue, the flexion, arthritis. And many times they think, that's it. That's as far as I can get with this back problem. But they notice that they're having, they may not even know, Carrie, that it's a sciatic nerve problem, but they know having some kind of nerve, some kind of problem, and you'll hear something like this. Oh, man, every time I go to sit down, my feet or my toes get numb, or I get this sharp pain on the side of my hip. And I really don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or I really don't know what it is. And sometimes they're reluctant to talk to their primary care physician or their nurse practitioner or their physician's assistant about
Michael, why is that the case? Why is it that the veterans might feel apprehensive about sharing what's really going on with the ailments?
Sometimes, Carrie, as veterans, we don't see it as a big deal. It's not a big deal. It's not an issue. Sometimes some of the vets feel like, here we go again. He's going to give me some more freaking pills and pain pills, and I don't want to take all this crap. So I'll just kind of tough it out and I'll be okay.
And that doesn't sound like a good idea to me.
No, it's not a good idea, Carrie Hines. But this is what we deal with as veterans. This is how we think. And it all comes back to when we were in the military, we were told to, especially a lot of us that are veterans from, say, the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and even going into the early part of the 90s. We basically were told, suck it up. You're going to be okay. Rub a little dirt on it. Matter of fact, here's a couple of motions. Walk it off. You'll be just fine.
And
you know, Carrie, that's the mindset. Most of the vets that I know, that's the mindset that they have. A lot of these newer veterans, the newer era of being a veteran, they know things a little bit different, and they operate a little bit differently than we did in our generation as veterans. We didn't want to show weakness, Carrie Hines. You know, we just didn't. I'm not weak, I'm strong, and hoorah, and all that good stuff. But as we get older, guess what happens? Things on our body goes down. It happens.
Yeah. It sounds like what you were just saying about, you know, being kind of toughing it out and maybe thinking that that was the way to go. Well, maybe that was the thought pattern way back when. But now, especially where it's beneficial to your compensation, with regards to your disability, I think absolutely, you know, following what you're telling people to do with these claims, Michael Hopkins.
Right. And you know what, Karen?
Go right ahead, please.
The number one takeaway from all of this, it's your health as an individual veteran.
Wow.
It's your health. It's not anybody else's
health. That's the bottom line.
It's your health.
Wow.
And you know, Karen, it's great we can get this compensation for injuries and illnesses,
right,
and secondaries and all that. But the bottom line is, as a veteran, and I want all the veterans to understand this, you know, that's here listening, is your health. Take care of yourself. That's the number one thing, Karen. Take care of yourself as a veteran.
Wow.
Does that sound like a plan,
Harry
Hines? Does that sound like a plan?
It does. Michael, speaking of which, I want to take a moment to just remind everybody that you are closing out on season two. You've already kind of put the bookend on that. We're super excited because next week you'll be rolling in to your season, your third season. With some new exciting topics. And is there anything, just because we got folks tuned in live with us right now on this September morning, the day after Labor Day, that we want to let folks know some of the topics you plan to cover in season three? Anything that maybe we didn't cover in the first couple of seasons of the Vet Talk Radio Show? It's hard to believe that you are closing in on like 100 broadcasts of your own. And that's incredible all by itself. Anything you want to add to that, Michael Hopkins?
Well, one of the things that topics that I want to cover, Carrie, that we really didn't dwell into, is I wanted to talk a lot more to my female veterans, because a lot of them, they have stories to tell.
How do you plan to do that, Michael Hopkins?
And what I want to do is I want to interview female veterans, and I want to talk about their stories, how when they served in the military, what did they experience? That's what I want to do.
That's going to be something that we will be looking at to do. I think it sounds exciting and awesome, and I think equal time. Absolutely. I'm a big fan of that idea. So that's something that we'll work on and want to bring everybody. So we'll talk about that in our production meetings and get that, all of that working, because, again, we want everybody to be represented on the broadcast
Very
and their experiences to share. So we'll talk about that and kind of keep everybody informed. Anything else you want to add to that?
Also, Carrie, there have been some, and there still are, some military organizations out here that deserve recognition for their service to this country. And that's another topic. Well,
yeah, but
there have been,
to mind?
They have been, especially during the first and second, and even past that, even back to the 1800s, there have been some organizations like the Buffalo Soldiers. Also,
I didn't know those were real. That was actually the real. Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, real organizations.
I remember reading about that.
With the Buffalo Soldiers and their exploits.
Sure.
And during World War One,
World
War One, Carrie, we had the Hell Fighters from Harlem up in your neck of the woods, and they some of the exploits. Yeah, they were from New York.
Right.
Some of the exploits that they did. We have Civil War. We have units during the Civil War that were just, I mean, wow. And the same thing during the Spanish-American War. Also, Carrie.
Yes, I remember. Well, I feel like I'm back in high school history class. Because we had to read about all of these wars, and we had to talk about them until the cows came home. And I just loved it. I was so entranced by this. And the scope. And I remember getting up and doing the report. So, Michael, thank you for reminding of us of the bravery of these
Very
soldiers.
Much, yeah.
And that's no different than today. where, you know, and to all of the veterans who have served this great country. So this is really something.
Yeah. And, Carrie, during World War II, most people know about the Tuskegee Airmen and their exploits over Italy.
Yeah.
But not many people know about the 761st Tank Battalion during World War II.
Well, I'm raising my hand
as well.
I never heard of that. What can you tell us about it?
Oh, Carrie, they were the original Black Panthers.
Wow.
That's who they were. They were the original Black Panthers. That's the patch that they wore. Despite all the discrimination and all of that, battalion of African-American men, they surpassed everybody's expectations. They were in about 100 and some odd days in combat. And a lot of people don't know. They've heard of General Patton and with the movie Patton
of
and
course.
George C. Scott and all that good stuff. But most people don't know. And you know, Carrie, most people don't know that battalion was part of Patton's army.
No,
they held the
Michael,
line.
How come
we
never heard of these things?
Yeah, we never hear about these things. Everybody knows about the Battle of the Bulge, but these guys took place in that. They had the high, I mean, they were just, I can't wait. I just can't wait to do this as a show, Carrie. It is so much.
Yeah.
I don't want to give a lot away, but these guys were just phenomenal.
Michael, I hope that you can bring this to the Salon TV Network and to our, we call STV, because that's what we're working on now. And to have that talk with your own TV show for anybody who wants to get the Salon TV Network, they just need to let us know. Because we're a promotional company, so it costs money to stream it, but it is fantastic. And, Michael, this should be one of those topics, and not just covered there, but I'd love to see it in our magazine at afrolock.com. I'd love to see it. I'd love to hear about it on the Afrolock Radio Network, which is available at afrolockmagazine.com. And again, Afrolock is spelled AFROLOCK. So just so that you have some ideas. And this is really interesting. Michael Hopkins. No, I'd never heard about all of this. Michael, how did you find out about all of this?
Wow, okay. What I do is I love history, especially military history.
Yeah.
So I study it. I read about it. You know, a lot of stuff's on YouTube now. And I run across these facts. And then I have subscriptions.
Little known facts.
Little known, yes. I just run across the. It is just so much that it just blows your mind, and I share it with a lot of people, and that's why I want to share it here on Vet Talk, because it's like a big wow. Most people don't even know Jackie Robinson was a World War II veteran. He was an officer and during World War II. He was in that battalion, all blacks, yes.
Wow, no.
And
there have
been so much, Carrie. And over the years, when a lot of the black veterans didn't get, say, the Congressional Medal of Honor, over the years, their families petitioned, other congressmen and senators petitioned, and a lot of them earned these the medals. That for years and years, and some of them posthumously, you know, their families got the medal. They righted the wrong that happened to these gentlemen.
They were overlooked,
And believe it or not, Carrie, even in my veterans group that I go to on every Friday after we finish with production.
In Virginia, Michael,
you go there
every week like clockwork. To have a powwow with the veterans. to chat with the veterans to inspire one another and share stories. And you often come back and tell us about those stories. And I just love it. Yeah.
Very much so. Yeah. We have some of the gentlemen in there. Some of them are a perfect example. We had a gentleman, and most Americans, especially African Americans, they've never heard of the Mumford Point Marines. They've never heard of them during World War II.
Wow.
They've never heard of them.
Who are they?
They were an all-black Marine Corps unit during World War II. Most people think that all in that period of time in history that the military services were pretty much integrated. Well, that wasn't the case. It wasn't the case. It was separate but equal. And so
the
Mumford Point Marines, they have an association. And some of those gentlemen are still alive. They're like 80s, 90s, pretty much in their 90s. And the stories that they tell about what they had to endure to be in the Marine Corps back then, it's the stuff that Hollywood should have been making pictures about, Carrie Hines. They should have been making pictures about it. Because you listen to these guys' stories, you'll be mesmerized. Even if you didn't step in the military one day in your life, when you listen to these gentlemen and you listen to their stories, it reminds me so much of I had uncles that were World War II veterans. And the stories that they used to tell me, that was part of what inspired me to go into the military. I've had World War II uncles, Korean War uncles, cousins that were Vietnam vets, and that's what encouraged me to go into the military.
Well, look at the folks you are encouraging today, Michael Hopkins.
Take a look at the
listeners of the Vet Talk Radio Show, and let me just take a moment to shout out everybody who is tuned in right now and the folks who support you, folks that you know and folks that you don't know. And we want to salute all of our veterans. Let's take a moment to do that as well. It just means so much about your service to the country, and I so appreciate it. I really do, and it's a great honor to do this every week and to help you with any kind of production and backhand back office, keeping our show well produced. It is a great pleasure, Michael Hopkins, and to work alongside of our own accredited claims agent, Michael Hopkins, official. Michael, you're official.
Yes, I am.
Yes. Go right ahead, Michael.
What I was going to say, Carrie, I am so proud that when I go to help a veteran, if they have any doubts of can I help them, I'm so proud to tell them that I am an accredited claims agent, which means that the Office of Veteran Affairs, the Office of General Counsel, approved me to help veterans. I tell them, yes, all you have to do, you can Google my name under the Office of General Counsel. You will find my name, Michael Hopkins. You will see that I have been accredited to help veterans. You'll see that I have an ID number. I mean, it just doesn't, Carrie. That is just, it just puts a kind of lump in my throat. I know this sounds kind of old-fashioned to most people, but to me it's not. It makes me feel as though that I have a duty and an obligation to help veterans. And it makes me proud that the VA, Office of General Counsel, selected me to help veterans. So, Carrie Hines, that holds me to a very high standard. That's what it holds me to, Carrie. Very high standard.
Yes. And you are demonstrating that. Yeah, Michael, you are. You are demonstrating what it means to truly put your passion and put your mouth where your passion is, because when you're helping so many, so your work off the mic and from you know, everyday life to being on the radio show.
Oh yes, Karen. And I just appreciated that you took the time, and you took the time, you sat down with me, and we together figured this out. And you've been such a help. You've been a guidance along the way. And you just took to this veteran thing like a duck to water, man. Like I said, I've got the certificate, your honorary being a veteran.
Oh.
And, you know, you just and a lot of – and, you know, Carrie, a lot of the vets, when we're on and you and I, we're going, we're conversating about, you know, these veteran issues and the claims and all that. And a lot of the veterans, they actually think you're a veteran. I mean, that's high accolade.
Well, that's the biggest.
Yeah.
Well,
they
that
really
would be the biggest honor in the world just to hear that. It definitely makes my heart warm to hear that.
Yeah,
because
it's fantastic.
Yeah, I over-identify at times because I care about people who care about us. And in this country where we need to really salute and support people who have risked their lives to help this country stay free and mean as much as it means to all of us. So this is not just for what we call radio talk. This is really who we are around the clock, you know, for my Hair Radio show that we do on weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on the other days of the week. You know, we generally are always talking about these same issues and things and the respect that veterans deserve. And so I appreciate, Michael Hopkins, you kind of introducing this whole area that we need to pay attention to, which I thought we were paying attention to. That's why it means so much. So thank you.
Just to remind
everybody that this was a great show today on this Tuesday, the day I didn't know folks were going to get up early the day after Labor Day to be part of it, but it was fantastic.
Yes, it was
a great show, and I've been up since early this morning to do the broadcast today for you guys. So this was awesome. So we'll be back Wednesday tomorrow with show number 891, and for the Vet Talks, we're going to be doing for Vet Talk Radio. We got episode 5, 6, 7, and 8. So we'll be playing about 4 episodes along the day tomorrow. So please join us starting 6 a.m. Eastern, going all the way to 9 o'clock or thereabout. 4 episodes to play tomorrow of the Vet Talk Radio Show. You don't want to miss it. Michael, this has been an incredible day. I've loved this whole special today that we didn't expect to air. So great Labor Day episode. We're going to have to keep this in our archives and kind of toss it out from time to time. You know, because these are great top terms that, what do we say, every veteran should know.